Judge Michael Rager, registration 22027, appearing for the appellant, Griffin Haddon Properties. I may refer to my client, the appellant, as Griffin, and the county just as the county. But this is a case involving a dispute over whether a road that runs through my client's property is a public road. My client, in a nutshell, Judge, I want to just give you a few facts, and I want to get to the a little map here just to give you a little bit of context very quickly and then get to the issues. My client purchased property in Moffat County in 1973. The property was locked at the eastern property boundary from 1973 until 2009. At that point in time, the county instructed my client to remove a lock. A lock was cut by the county, and my client was threatened with prosecution. At that point in time, my client filed a complaint. The parties stipulated to a stay pending the outcome of the case, and the case proceeded. During the case, the county discovered in its closed records at the road and bridge, I misstated that. What the county discovered in commissioner minutes, Your Honor, was 3 minutes from 1924. And those 3 minutes provided the basis for the county to allege that a dedication had occurred in 1924. The case went to trial on two theories, dedication and a prescription. At trial, the trial court did not reach the issue of prescription and instead found for the county based on dedication. This case is governed by the Supreme Court case City of Lakewood versus Mavromatis.
Was prescription argued in the court below?
It was, Your Honor. That issue was raised after certain documents were located during discovery by the county. The property that we're dealing with, just so the court can see what the trial court was dealing with, at this point here at the top of the map is the intersection of County Road 47 and State Highway 13. The road at this point is a dirt road, as you can see all the way down, and the road travels down until about section 24 in this area right here. There is a fence, and my client's property begins at that point. The road continues, just to give a little bit of context, to the saddle. This is the saddle that's referred to in the brief. And then on this side of the property is, to the west, is what has been referred to as the Y. The road then continues through another piece of property owned by Call of Wild, and it terminates right up here. The Woodmancy parcel would be terminating right up here. During the case, before it ruled, or at the time it ruled, the trial court noted significant problems with the dedication process that it found was represented in the commissioner's minutes. It found that there was, in the case, there was no petition, actual petition, that was located. It was simply referenced in the minutes. There was no plat located, although the second minute that's at Exhibit Z6 at trial indicates a map was presented to the county commissioners. And the court noted that there was no evidence of posting of the road by the county. This is particularly relevant because the statutes at issue, the 1921 statutes, require posting at three separate places along the road to give notice to landowners. Of course, the purpose of the statute is to allow the landowners to contest the condemnation and then seek proper damages.
So I understand the record, your client secured a title policy for the property as well.
An abstract and an opinion, I think the record says, Your Honor.
That did not disclose or talk about any such road.
Yes, Your Honor. Just like in Mavrometis, and just like in Adelson, and just like in Bamberger. Adelson and Bamberger being the two courts of appeals cases that deal with the issue of notice.
Was there a posting, a road sign somewhere along the road?
There was disputed evidence as to that. There was some evidence of that, I'm saying, Your Honor. There was no.
What was the evidence that you recall?
The evidence that I recall was that there was posting of notice.
There was a sign, was there not,
yes,
somewhere?
I believe that there was notice that at some point in time from 1965 to 1968, there was one witness that alleged that there was a sign somewhere at the saddle.
And that's farther beyond the property?
That is onto the property. I would note, you draw an interesting distinction, Judge. If you look at the Court of Appeals opinion in Bamberger, it did note that there was a prior, I believe it's in Bamberger or Adelson, there was a prior lawsuit where the landowner actually asserted that a road was public. So there was no evidence that my client's principals knew or should have known at the time that they purchased the property that there was an assertion that there was a public highway onto the property. But we talked a little bit about this. You've heard this. Mavrometis lays out a clear, bright line. That clear, bright line is that if there is a petition and a plat, If those requirements are accomplished, there either has to be a recording or these documents have to be placed in the county's road book. Now, in this case, the county's road book was produced. There was no evidence that these documents were ever in Moffitt County's road book. It's undisputed as well that these documents were never recorded in the chain of title. They were never recorded at all, and the evidence is that they were never entered in the reception either. In Mavrometis, the Supreme Court was dealing with statutory dedication, and in this case, we're dealing with condemnation. And the requirements are just a little bit different. They're addressed in the Mavrometis case. In Mavrometis, at note 17, the Supreme Court referenced the Ingram case. And basically, Mavrometis was reviewing, interpreting Ingram. And the Supreme Court noted that the statute at that time required that documents be put upon record in the office of the Recorder of Deeds, whereas the 1883 statute in Mavrometis required both filing in the road book as well as recording. And in Mavrometis, the court noted that Weld County had failed in the Ingram case to accomplish the required recording. So the language that we're dealing with in this case, according to the Supreme Court, did require recording, if that's clear to you.
But for substantial compliance, you don't necessarily need recording, isn't that right?
That's correct, Your Honor. The option under Mavrometis is to place the plat and the petition in the road book. That way you have given the notice required under the statutes, but anyone who's a subsequent purchaser without knowledge will not be bound by that dedication.
Mr. Rigger, there was a map published in 1929. Was that placed in the road book?
No, Your Honor, there's no evidence. The road book had very few documents in it. It was substantially deleted of documents. The trial court noted that it was a lot of pages were missing. And again, I know that it was produced during the case. Nobody knows. There were just a few documents, Your Honor. If you look at the language in Mavrometis, it's clear that there is a bright line. The suggestion by the county is that substantial compliance could be something else. And then there's a discussion of various cases, Raftopolis and Brierley. I'm going to get to those in a minute. But the language in Mavrometis is that Mavrometis at 96. We conclude that placing the road petition in the road book completed a process affecting substantial compliance with the statute for the purpose of creation of a public highway. But absent adherence to the Recording Act procedures, the road petition did not give constructive notice. And the court goes on in Mavrometis at page 98 to say, accordingly, this is the key language, we hold that placing the road petition and incorporated plat in the road book in the office of the Jefferson County clerk was adequate to complete the dedication of the Tally Ho Strip. Now, the cases that as a result of this bright line rule, in the Supreme Court in Mavrometis, it goes on to say that after the quote I just read you, we must then determine the action necessary in order to give notice of the dedication to subsequent purchasers. So the clear language of the Supreme Court in Mavrometis is that unless a dedication has been accomplished by either recording or placing these documents in the road book, then there's no, you don't go on to inquiry notice. That seems obvious, but I just want to draw that for the court. If you look at the cases that are cited and by the county, the Brierley case, I mentioned the Raftopolis case, Crane versus Beck, Corp versus Itten, and Ingram. Ingram is a little bit harder to read. In Ingram, the Supreme Court stated the quote that the BOCC, quote, entered the order establishing the road on their own records. Well, I think all of these cases establish that the plat and the petition in those cases was placed in a road book. If you look at your two cases, Adelson and Bamberger, the court had to get to inquiry in those cases because the record is clear that the plat and petition at issue was placed in the road book in those two cases. If you don't put the under the bright line test of Mavrometis, if you don't put the documents in the road book or they're not recorded, then there cannot be substantial compliance. I'll reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rigger. Mr. Snow?
Excuse me. My name is Jeremy Snow on behalf of the Board of County Commissioners of Moffat County. My attorney number is 37323. This case really boils down to three issues. The first is, was a road dedicated? And then the question becomes, if a road was dedicated, can that road be identified? And then thirdly, was there notice to a subsequent purchaser? That's the essence of this case. So the first question is, what's substantial compliance? And while my opponent has argued that Mavrometis sets forth a bright line rule that it must be recorded, that's not actually the analysis of Mavrometis. They make clear, in fact, it states at 97, the failure of strict compliance with the requirement of road dedication statutes did not defeat the creation of public highways where the essential purpose of the statutes were accomplished. And that phrase is important, the essential purposes of the statutes. It seems, if that's Mavrometis' analysis, that we've got to do the essential, we have to look at the essential purpose of the statutes, if a Board of County Commissioners were to say, do every single requirement in that list, and you can look at Mavrometis, there's a list of, I think, 9 or 10 different subsections. When I read the statutes, I can break it into more than that. But imagine a County Commissioner, a Board of County Commissioners of County was to do every single one, except put it in the road book. That seems foolish to think that Mavrometis would say, well, you did everything else, but you didn't record it, so no road. That would defeat the essential purpose of the the statute. So what was essential purpose? If you read the statutes, if you look at Mavrometis, the essential purpose of the statute was to allow a process by which a group of landowners could request that a public entity make a road for them, or open a road, make a public road. And then the county had to take some sort of action to go through a process to, you know, look at it, make sure it was going to check out. Was there damages? Were there landowners that opposed it? If so, were they going to need to condemn the land? Different steps like that. And then finally, did they order, did they open the road? Well, we have that essential purposes here. The first being, was there a request by landowners? As set forth more fully in our answer, there was a petition. It was recorded in the Board of County Commissioner minutes. And the people that signed were the landowners, or at least portions of the people that signed were the landowners under which the disputed portion of the road lied. So these were the people asking that a road be brought to their property. Next, the county acted. They started taking steps. The documents show, the Board of County Commissioner notes show at Exhibit Z5, that they posted a bond, or they required a bond be posted. They ordered that viewers be appointed. They stipulated to damages. This was the Board of County Commissioners trying to go through the steps of what they understood, again, 80 years ago, to be this, the steps of the statute. And then finally, the viewers went out, they received what the report from the viewers, they state that in Z6, and then a map was attached. Again, I think the difference between a map and a plat are probably negligible. It sounds like the same thing. They wanted to see what was there. And then they approved that report and map, and then subsequently in Z5, they ordered that the road be open. They took a step to order it. All the rest, you know, whether there was notice, whether there was damages done according to the specifics of the statute, that's in the realm of strict compliance, which Mavrometis says we don't need to do. And Raftopoulos, I believe, supports that even further. It says you don't do a collateral attack 50 years or 70 years later, in this case, 80 years later. If there was lack of notice, if there was lack of recording in the road book, if there were things that would have put a contemporary landowner on a lack of notice, then when he started seeing the county take control of the road, which again we'll talk about the
but that's contemporaneous, not
correct.
Years after the fact.
That's the point. That would have been the time to do it.
But isn't Mavrometis looking at the issue of notice?
Yes. And as I pointed out, there's three steps. Notice being the last one. The first.
Well, the notice is critical to this case, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I agree, and we'll address that. I'm just saying that as far as sufficiency of evidence, contemporaneous notice, as far as following the strict compliance, is really not necessary. So there's a lot of arguments in the brief and the reply that I believe fall under that strict compliance. They're arguing that there's a lack of strict compliance, when in reality we've got.
Well, there's at least lack of evidence of strict compliance. So
yes.
We're looking at notice. Is there sufficient compliance to give notice?
So notice falls into kind of two categories. And what I understand the court asking is, was there notice that someone knew that the road had been dedicated? That's what I hear the court asking. So if we jump ahead to notice, the first is, was there notice on the ground? The court ruled that the look of the road, the way it was set out, the court asked about signs, and if the court can look at the map, there's actually evidence that where the road first connected to the state highway, which is only the only access through this road up to the property and road in question, there was a sign at the bottom. So this is like the Bamberger versus Littlefield case, where there was a sign at the time.
The thing that troubles me about this case is that the recording statute's central purpose is to provide some accessible history of title.
Correct.
And when you say the existence of the road on the property ought to put the owner on notice, inquiry notice, what's he to learn? And as I understand what happened here, is somehow his inquiry notice is not to go to assess the history of the title. He's supposed to dig through the archives and check out the minutes of the County Board of Commission.
Well, I think there's actually a simpler one, and little Bamberger addresses that. In Bamberger, the court essentially ruled that they weren't going to hold that person to inquiry notice because it would have been futile. And one of the facts they point out as to being futile is that that road did not appear on the county road maps. In this case, the road consistently appears on the county road maps from 1929 to 1936 to 1948 to the 1950s to the 1960s up to 1970. In fact, just months before he purchased the property, there was the latest version of the map showing this road. So simply going down, and again, they knew there was a county road. They knew it went straight through the property line. The court can see the map. There's no distinguishing feature. There's not a branch. They stated that they knew there was a county road, at least up to that point. They're on some inquiry notice to go check it out. Well, what's one way they can go find out? Go to the county road department, look at their map, and they would see that that county road exists.
But how do reasonable landowners check it out? They buy a title policy.
Well, what's interesting is in the record, the title commissioner said that they routinely don't include roads in that. For example, all prescriptive use roads would never appear in a chain of title because there's no notice. There's a long history of lack of notice of public roads in Colorado, these being prescriptive use roads, and there's a lot of roads in Colorado that were...
We don't know if this is a prescriptive use road.
We do not know that. The court did not rule on that because it found the dedication. The point is whether or not a road is in the title opinion isn't the end of the question, because everyone knows that there are other ways that the road can appear that would not normally be in the chain.
Okay, so walk me through that.
So the landowner can...
When they purchased,
yes,
the map, the road map at the time did not show this as a road.
It did. It showed it as a road from 1929, and the last map was in March of 73, and I believe it was just a couple months later. And this road, as it was detailed this afternoon, was on the maps. It's been on the map since 1929. There's not a single county road map, state road map, that this road does not appear on, including the disputed portion past the plaintiff's property line. So it did appear on the map. So by merely going down to the county road, they could have discovered that there was a county road past the line. There's nothing that states that the county has to kind of have a waiting packet of information, for example, under prescriptive use or any of the other features. It's accepted that there are more than one way in which a landowner, a road, public road can be created. So once it's seen on the county road map, that's notice. In fact, that's the analysis of Bamberger, just reversed. It wasn't on the road map, therefore there wasn't notice. It would have been futile. In this case, there was. It seems clear that the thought process was, if it appeared, that would be something that would put them on notice. Coupled with the other evidence, and we've got to go back to 1973, he's down at the county road department looking at the county road map. It shows that it's there. There was maintenance. There was a testimony that there was maintenance from somewhere in the 1930s up until the time that the plaintiff purchased the property. So this is nearly a 40-year history of maintenance. The people that had been doing the maintenance around that time would have been there. There was evidence that there was a construction and enlargement of the road just 10 years prior, 1963. All of this would have been readily available to a landowner that was doing a little sniffing around, having seen on the county road maps that this was, in fact, a county road. The plaintiff attempts to distinguish that by just saying, well, appearing on the county road map is just a claim of right. But if that's true, then county road maps are meaningless. We should burn them all, because the fact that there might possibly be a mistake doesn't eviscerate the entire document. It must stand for something, and at the very least would put the landowner to do further investigation on such issues such as maintenance, control, and the basis for the claim. In the end, all these documents were on the public record, albeit, yes, they're old and not readily accessible, but they are there. And having seen that it was claimed by a county road, further investigation could have been done to determine that it was, in fact, the basis for that claim.
But let me make sure I understand your argument, Mr. Snow. While the title policy wouldn't have identified necessarily prescriptive use roads, it certainly would have identified a public highway, wouldn't it?
Public highway is a term of art, and that includes prescriptive use roads. If you look at the statutes It says a public highway can be created, and one of the methods is prescriptive use. One of the other methods, the current statute reads, is you know, any statute that existed before, which is essentially these dedication statutes that we're talking about now. But they're all one and the same. It's a public road. And it's important to note that when the petition was made, they asked for a wagon road. I mean, we're not talking about a highway that was going through. This is, you know, 1924. And so there's not, it's going to be the same type of activities that would have created a prescriptive use type road. Maintenance, snow, all of which there was ample evidence of at trial. And the trial court found on behalf of the county that those existed, that the county did have dominion and control over this road through, you know, up until the time that the property was purchased. The only other remaining issue that I haven't addressed is that of identification, and ultimately Gorky, which is what a plaintiff relies on principally in its brief and reply, is that, and that's a case about identification. In that case, they said, we can't determine where the road is because there's not enough identifying information in the record. But here, it's a lot different. First of all, in Gorky, they stated that all they really had was a description that said, through the Garden of the Gods. That would be like, in this case, saying a road that goes from the state highway to Isles Mountain. But we have a description of the location. It's supposed to be near Section 7, 8, 17, and 18, which this road does, in fact. Then to go in a southwesterly direction through 7, 8, 18, and 19, which this does, with the exception of 17, which would have just been a corner through 17, so it again follows the description. And then it says it's supposed to go through 24, then 23, and 22. Those, if you look at those consecutively, if you look at the map, those then all go due west. And so it was contemplated that the road at some point would turn and head west. This road does, it just does it by going through 25 and 26, because as was stated in the record at the trial court, that to go straight west through 24 would be to go over impassable terrain. And the request itself, as long as this, as well as the statute, indicated it was to go through the most practical route. So when you look at this in totality, especially coupled with the fact that when you just look at the maps, if you look at the maps, it's the only road that goes to Isles Mountain. There are some creeks and ravines. If the 1929 map's a little hard to read because sometimes the roads and the ravines look the same, but if you compare it to later maps, you can tell the difference between the ravines and the roads. And this is the only road in the area. If you imagine for a moment that, you know, back in 1924, the county received this petition from these landowners, went through this whole process, and then started doing maintenance, put it on its maps. That makes sense. The idea that they would ignore this road, not open it, not order that it be a county road, and then just kind of magically some years later decided to start doing maintenance on the road kind of stretches the imagination. So when you look at the evidence as a totality, it seems clear that this was in fact dedicated and then operated as a county road. And the only remaining issue being that of notice. Again, given that this appears consecutively for years on the county maps, this seems sufficient evidence to put a landowner on notice.
Although no plat is recorded in a clerk's office.
That is correct, Your Honor.
You have about 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yes, Your Honor. Quickly and to the point, I submit that reading Gorky with Mavromatis, Mavromatis comes later, trying to put them together. At least Gorky, the 1914 opinion from this court, stands for the proposition that when you do not post notice, you have not complied. That holding has not been overruled. I want to be clear here. The road, there's only one witness that testified at trial about the location of the road versus the road described in the petition. It was the county's witness. She said it didn't start where it was stated, and the road, the course was different. In fact, it was one section north. The road described in the petition ran one section north than this existing road that the trial court held was extended. This argument that you ask about the county roadmap, what the county is doing here is what the county's tried to do in McIntyre. They're trying to conflate the claim of right requirement to eliminate that requirement. In Bamberger, this court said, although one State Department of Transportation map showed the strip as part of County Road 113, other witnesses testified they didn't see it. So in Bamberger, there was testimony that the county road map there had this strip in it. And this court went on to say, under these circumstances, the record supports the trial court's finding that the defendants failed to prove inquiry notice. So this court has dealt with that specific issue. In the briefing, I raised this issue. If a landowner were required to go to the road and bridge or the county, first of all, it's impractical to think that they could scour the minutes of the commissioner's records. Second, Your Honor, if they found a road on a road map, all that would establish is that the county was claiming right to the road. It would start the prescription period under McIntyre, but it wouldn't establish anything else. You put the landowner in the position of having to go get a declaratory judgment order that there was no county road on the property. So I submit that what the county is asked for creates a process that's monstrous, that could not work. There was no notice given, contemporaneous notice given by recording in the records, public with the clerk and recorder, or by placing it in the road book.
And that's required under the dedication statute.
Yes, Your Honor. Lastly, I submit that it would be unreasonable to impose a duty of inquiry on my client under the facts of this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rigger. Thank you, Mr. Snow. Thanks to you both for excellent arguments this afternoon. I think they were helpful to the panel. The matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course.